Crimson love, price of life's demand. Shameful sin placed on him, the hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Save your son, Holy One, slain so I can live. See the Lamb, the great I Am, who takes away my sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. No, the blood of the Lamb. Precious blood of the Lamb. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, one love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin yes, even then He shed His blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. 'Cause Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. Oh, I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. So take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. Oh, I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. So take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, but more than anything can do, I just want you. I just want you and nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else, nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. Oh, I just want you. More than anything that you can do, I just want you.
Thank you, brother. You heard me praying up there. So glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So grateful for our visitors. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Part two. Some are happy to hear it. Some may not be. But I'm going to preach it whether you're happy or not. Amen. You're mandated by the Lord to preach the word. Amen. Even the hard words. You preach the word and it's truth. Because hard truth is love. Amen. Wouldn't you say that if your child was running out into the road, but they were having fun and a car was coming? A hard truth is, get your butt out of the road. Kid don't want to hear that, do they? They don't want to hear that. But you know best. You know a car could take them out, rob them of their life. You know our Heavenly Father is that way. He looks at us. Sometimes he says some things that we don't agree with, but it's out of his love. It's for the safety of our souls. Amen. And he gives that unto men and women. He gives that to the body of church, of his church. He gives that to each one of us, that we might share those truths with people, his word to those people, and say, listen, I know that you don't want to hear this. I know that this might be opposite of what your heart's telling you right now, but the heart of God's calling unto you, and your way is leading to destruction. Amen? I don't have a super hard word this morning. I'm not going to beat nobody up, but I believe I have an edifying word for the church of Jesus Christ, one that is necessary for these end times that we're living in. And if you've not witnessed the reality and the truth of it being the end times, we need to ask the Lord for a fresh spirit of grace to come in and teach us, to maneuver us into a place to see the truths of life that are around us. Amen? I'm only 31, but I've heard all my life Jesus is coming. And if I've heard it all my life, how close is he now? Amen? A lot of people roll their eyes and go, I've heard that all my life. I don't know if he's coming. I have the opposite reality. If it's been that long, how close is he? He's closer now than he's ever been. I can tell you that. Amen? John chapter 8, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 this morning. Familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 8, this is concerning Jesus. Isn't it always concerning Jesus? Amen. The word of God. John chapter 8. And before I begin, I really covet your prayers this morning. Very tired. Had a long week this week. I thought Carly was going to share about her grandmother. And then she looked to me and said, you do it. And then by that time, Pastor Pedro was already ready to go. But be praying for Jean Scott. She fell and broke her leg Wednesday, and she's been in Dothan Southeast Medical Center. Just be praying for her. They got surgery done. She's in good condition. But just pray for the healing process, coming home and just being taken care of when she comes home, as well as Mr. Lamb. We were praying for him last Sunday. We got a call yesterday that he is in the last hours. Felicia and Tony were with us. They left us and went to be with him in his last moments. So just be praying for their family as well, amen, as we await the updates. But let's just pray one more time. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for our time together, Lord. I thank you for a time in worship where we can just cast off the weight of the world. We can cast off the troubles of our souls, God, and we can just sit, as that last song said, in your presence, where we can be caught up, Lord God, away from this world, away from our flesh, away from our troubles, God, and we can hide away in the secret place that is in you, God, your spirit. So, God, we ask you, God, as we sit, as we learn, Lord, let your anointing come. Let your spirit be upon us, God. Let our hearts be open to your word, that we might inherit, God, these truths, that they might change us, God. God forbid we come to church on Sundays, God, and we not be changed by your word every week, God. Father, your intention for the preaching of your word was that men and women would be changed from their image to your image, God. And so we lift up our lives to you, God, and say, however you want to change me today, God, change me. However you want to move me today, God, move me. Do what you will in our life. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8, starting in verse 1, it says this, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he went again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" Amen. You'll remember this is part two, collecting stones before their throne, part two. Part one was the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus gives us an arsenal of weaponry by his Spirit. He gives it to us, right? He gives us all the things we need to win in victory over the devil, over flesh, over life, over troubled times. But who's it up to put it on? Who's it up to put it away and be prepared for those times to come? It's up to us, amen? And we also talked about who those weapons were meant to be used upon. But we don't war against flesh and blood, amen? Folks, this life we're living, we're going to fight battles. We're going to find people that don't like us, not because we're Christians, just because they don't like nobody, amen? I've had plenty of folks in my life that I don't like them, not because of their religion, but just because I didn't like them, right? We all know somebody like that. Don't act all saved on me this morning. Y'all are just like me, flesh. We all have those feelings. We've all been ticked off. And we've all wanted to use the language of the Lord on them too, haven't we? The Lord's vengeance is swift. He's going to deal with you. Amen? Amen? We've done that. We've used the Lord's tools, but our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities and spirits of darkness. It's against imaginations that raise themselves up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is our warfare, amen? But this morning, I want to talk about not just the victory that we have in Jesus, the ammunition that he gives us, but I want to talk about the other side of that. I want to talk about us and us constantly reaching for stones to throw at people in times of our frustration, in times of our flesh, in times of our nature. Anybody ever been hit with a stone from the church? Anybody? Just one. Ain't nobody ever felt the wrath of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? No one? No one's ever heard the gossip about you? No one? You've never been lied on, gossiped about? Your family ain't been talked about? You know where they come from. God bless, they ain't got no choice. Look where they come from. It's truth. Folks, as Christians, we're eager to rush and get stones. We're eager to do it. We don't want to fight within the warfare that God asks us to fight in. We're eager to run and grab stones and fight whatever battles in front of us. If you're married in here, you've heard this saying before, pick your battles. Anybody ever heard that? My wife's favorite is, that ain't a hill I'm willing to die on. That's her favorite one. Pick your battles. See, we're so careful in certain things, but in other things we're crazy about it. We're irrational in the choices that we make. And in this scripture, in this account of John chapter 8, we see men of God. Now, no, they're not born again, but these are proclaimers to be righteous men, religious men. And what they've done is they've went away in secret, and they found someone in their secret sin, Hear me now. Their secret sin. This wasn't blatant out for the world to see. These people sought it out. You ever know somebody like that? Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? What's going on with them? Why are they acting like this? I can just tell. Now, I just want to put it on the prayer chain. That's the only reason I'm asking you about it. It's not for my own personal... You see that laughter in here? We all know somebody. You're seeking it out. You're see- and let me tell you something. I'm not talking about sin as grotesque as, grotesque as adultery this morning or fornication. I'm talking about just anything. Anything little or minor that we can drag out about somebody to slander them. Folks, I love Bruce Butler with all of my heart. He sang at my wedding. I love that man. I know he is a mighty man of God. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have been able to pastor this church for 25 years. He was God's man for those years. I believe that. But don't you think for one minute that in my tenure of 1 year here that I've not heard some negative things about Bruce. And I'm not talking about from worldly people. I'm talking about from Christians. They're not over the head terrible, but you know, Bruce didn't do it that way. See, that seems light to us. But little do you know, we're picking up stones. The accusational spirit of our flesh, of what I prefer over what God prefers. At the end of the day, it's not what I want. It's what God wants. And if God chooses a man, woman, or child in this building to move in his behalf, and I sit back and I go, look at their life. I just don't think God can move through them. I don't think God can do what he said he can do through that person. I just don't think I can. I don't think I can sit back and allow that because it came from them. See, that's the nature of our flesh. But you don't get to choose who God forgives. You don't get to choose who God has mercy on, and you don't get to choose who God has judgment on. Folks, don't think for a second, just because someone's not said it to my face, that there hasn't been saved folks talk negative about me. It comes with the job. No one's going to like it all the time. I don't like it half the time. God tells me to do something, I go, God, you know this isn't going to go good for me. You know it's true. You've had situations like that in your life with God where God told you to do something. You go, I just know it's a small town, God. I don't know if you know where I live or not. It's a small town. You better know what's going to be talked about down the road at the restaurant. Crackers. I wasn't going to say it. Roger said it for me. That's one of the only restaurants I know in Indian Town, so... And it's not a slight against crackers. It's just the people that are in it. And it's not a slight against them in a negative way. Because it's all of our nature. Isn't that wonderful? We're all terrible together. Isn't that great?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Y'all are terrible. And so am I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're in a place where we can be that right now. Amen. And I want to just point to Jesus this morning. Isn't that great? I can't point to myself and go, if you guys would just look like me, if you guys dress like me on Sunday morning, if you talk like me, if you came from where I came from, maybe if you practice enough, maybe then you can be like me. See, that's the Pharisaical attitude. That's where they came from. Look at this adulterer. We're not capable of such things. You know what Jesus exposed in them? That they're capable of much worse. Amen? See, isn't that the beauty of Jesus? Is that when we measure ourselves to him, we're all equal. It's only when we measure ourselves to one another that some are greater than others. See, even with sin, Jesus looks at sin and goes, there is not one sin greater than another. See, because you sought this woman's sin out and you brought her before me, are you not guilty of murder? Because it'll be at your hands that she dies. And you can say, well, it's under the law, so therefore we're justified. But under what judgment? Whose judgment decided this? Your own judgment. Folks, just because we partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil doesn't mean we know the difference between good and evil. The Bible says in the last days, men will call evil good and good evil. We are not good judges of character and what's right and what's wrong. Look at our government today. It's all right for two men to be married. It's all right for two women to be married. It's all right to put kitty litter in a child's school because they believe they're cats. That's justice. That's your justice system. They're legally allowing that to happen. And we're sitting back going, these are kids, not cats. But in the legal system, we've decided that this is right. So folks, in our own ability to judge right and wrong, are we good at it? It's terrible, 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 terrible. And they brought this woman to the worst person they could have brought him to, Jesus. And they did it because they wanted to catch Jesus. And you know, we do that a lot. We want to catch each other in something, don't we? Let's take it to the pastor. Let's see what he has to say about it. He'll decide for us who's right and who's wrong. Let's see the situation, how it turns out. And if he doesn't do what I want him to, we'll leave the church. There's a few people that have experienced something like that in here. Folks, it ain't up to me. Don't bring your concerns to me. I want you to in a moment of spiritual, you know, accountability. But hear me. If you're not willing to take it to God first and then come to me and let's mediate it between the Lord, don't ask my opinion on it if you're not going to ask God's opinion on it. This is art. We're not talking to the world. I'm not out preaching this on the street. Amen? I'm preaching it to us as a church. You know why? Because part one can never come out unless part two is recognized. If we're going to walk in the victory that God has given us as the church, we cannot be tripping over one another, killing one another, if we're going to be an able-bodied army that takes on the spiritual darkness that's in the world. We can't do it. What does the enemy have to fight? He don't have to fight nothing. He's like, look at these guys. They're fighting each other. Every time you turn around, Sister So-and-so is getting hit in the head with a rock from Brother So-and-so because their families don't like what they like, or they came from this denomination, or they came from this background, or they were born on this side of the tracks. There's always some garbage in the church that makes you want to throw stones at one another. The Word of God's clear about it. Stop. Stop throwing stones. It's not up to you. It's not up to you about judgment, the swiftness of what it's going to be. It's up to God. He alone can either serve judgment or bring the acquittal. Only him. So when they brought it to Jesus, let's look at his nature. You know what he did when they brought him this question? They're trying to trick him, remember? What's he going to say? If he tells us to stone her, then we know he's already ate with publicans and harlots. So now he's a hypocrite against that message. But if he lets her go, he's going against the law of Moses, and we know he's not the Messiah. So we're going to catch Jesus in this, right? And they come to him, and as soon as they ask him the question, what does Jesus do? He just starts drawing in the sand. Folks, when somebody comes to you and they've got some issue in their little fleshly life, they got some gossip, they got some words for you, you just need to take a break. Step away from it. Don't indulge in conversation with it. Go to the Lord. Go to prayer. I'll tell you one way to handle this real, real quick. Is it okay if I take what you're saying and go ask the person you're talking about this? It usually doesn't go any further than that. I really appreciate your inquiry about your care for this person, that we should pray for them. But let's go talk to them together. Is that okay? I guarantee you that'll stop a lot of gossip. Amen? We can practice that. That's practical. I love practical preaching. You hear something about Brother Rafe? Don't be worried about my feelings. I want to hear about it. Come on, let's pray about it together. Let's see what God wants in that situation. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of people having desires and wants. You know what I'm afraid of in a church? Is the dark corners where gossip is allowed to live, where dissension builds, where we kill one another, we devour one another. And the work of God is never done. Isn't that terrible for a church? We've been a church here for 36 years this year, but we ain't never done nothing. Because we can't stop devouring each other. We can't stop biting each other. Wouldn't that be a terrible testimony? Now, that's not the testimony of this church, thank God. But it could be. And it is the testimony of so many churches. And we have to be careful with one another. So they try to catch Jesus. And he stoops down. He begins to draw in the sand. What he draws, what he writes, nobody knows. And if someone tells you they know, they don't. It's not in Scripture. We'll ask Jesus when we all get there together. Amen? Because I am interested. I want to know what he said. They asked him again. They pressed him. And after a while, Jesus got up and he said, if any one of you is free of sin, you can throw your first stone. Any one of you that desires, any one of you that's not guilty of sin, not grotesque sin, any sin, then I'll allow you to have your place and throw them. I just want you to know, this messed everybody up. Do you know why? Because it turned everyone's judgment on themselves. Folks, you know what true judgment in the church is? It's when you can judge yourself before you go judge somebody else. It's not my place to tell you who you are or what you are or what you need to be doing. If I can't look at myself and go, brother, sister, I'm just as ugly and as terrible, and I'm just as capable of doing the same things as you, but there's freedom for that. There's freedom for you in Jesus. Let's go together, because I need to go to the mercy seat myself. Let's bring this before the Lord together. That's the nature of Jesus in us. Jesus said, if you decide to do the judgment, you go ahead and fulfill it, but only the people that are righteous enough to do it. And what does it say? It doesn't say they dropped their stones in this particular piece of Scripture, but I could just imagine they did have their stones ready. I'm sure they went and picked them up and picked them out before they even went and got the girl. Had them in their pockets. Just a war party. You know what I'm saying? We don't know which sinner we're going to get, but we're going out to find one. Sometimes we are, as a church, are like that. See, up in North Florida, they don't believe that there's such a thing as snipe. They think snipe hunting is not real. It's a joke they play on each other. And then being from down here, I've actually been snipe hunting, like real snipe hunting. The little birds, you know? And so when I say what I'm about to say, it's in conjunction to that. We go on a snipe hunt, the fake one. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're just looking for something. And folks, that's the wrong. We should be looking for souls to be saved. We should be looking for wounds to be healed. We should be looking for those that are in bondage to be freed. But instead, we're going out and looking for ways to turn over someone else that we might go, I told you they weren't what they said they were. I knew it. As if it gives us some gain. But you know what it does? It hurts the testimony of Jesus. It hurts the church of Jesus Christ. Because while the world watches you turn over stones, they're looking at you going, I don't want to be any part of that. I have a lot of stuff hidden away that I don't want exposed. And that's all these people are interested in, is exposing. Do you know what John 3:16 says? When it goes past 16, 17 through 21, you guys know what it says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does 17 say? For this was the condemnation, right? Or for the Son of Man has not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it, right? And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world. But men hated the light because they were lovers of darkness. And they feared that if the light came into the world, that their darkness might be exposed. But what Jesus did was came in, and instead of condemning them for what was exposed, he forgave them for what was exposed, that their deeds might be wrought with God. You know what that word wrought means? It means worked out. God's come in to work out the darkness in us. That as he exposes this, it's not in shame and in condemnation. It's not in fear. It's in love. It's in grace. It's like coming to a father after you broke your favorite toy. Or maybe, my dad will remember this conversation, this instant. But there was a time where he had a really nice truck parked on a hill. And it was a stick shift. And some kids got in there and were playing with it. And we got out and the truck went down the hill. And it's not me that did it. Now, I want you to know, it was me that did it for a long time because they didn't believe a word I said. Probably justified, but it really wasn't me. Before you as a congregation, it wasn't me. I don't have to plead the fifth on this. I'm innocent. But like a child that is afraid to come to their father for fear of punishment, we don't live like that with Jesus. Because when we come and expose our deeds, no matter the cost to our father looks at us and goes, it's just a thing. I don't care about it. I'm just caring about you. Are you okay? You could have been destroyed. Thank God you're not destroyed. Come in. Let me deal with these things. Let me love you. Let me heal you. Let me free you. It's the nature of God. Jesus never raises a stone at us. Instead, they raised a cross for us. He took the punishment. He took the stones. He took the judgment upon himself. And Jesus says, if any of you are able, throw it. Because there's only one here that's justified to throw a stone. And they all walked away dropping their stones. And all that was left was him and this adulterous woman. You know, she could have snuck away in this time. You look at the timeline. I think this is profound to me. I was reading this morning. I just thought, man, the Bible is so amazing. I've read this account so many different times. All of these people crept away from Jesus, dropping their stones. Because I believe in their heart, they believed that Jesus knew their sin and they were afraid that he was going to expose them. So they just, I wasn't even here. They just rolled on out of there. But who's left standing there alone? It's the woman, the sinner that was brought before. She could have left, but she didn't. She recognized something in Jesus. Now, here's someone who can bring my case before a judge. And Jesus gets up from drawing in the sand, and he says, where are your accusers? She said, they're gone, all of them. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but when I stand before Jesus, you won't be there to give an account. You won't. Jesus isn't going to snap his fingers where you appear and you get to tell him all the bad things that you think about me. When I stand before Jesus, it's going to be me and it's going to be him. And he's going to have a record of not just everything I've done, but everything I've said. And like a just judge, he's going to look down on me. And he's going to look for one defining trait. Folks, because I'm guilty of so much. I'm guilty and I deserve hell as a man. But he's going to look down and he's going to see, is the blood applied? Is my blood applied? Has the price been paid for you? Have you accepted it? And when he sees it, you know what he's going to say? You just missed it. You just missed that kind of, he's not going to say that. You just got in by the skin of your teeth, Rafe. He's not going to say that to me. He's going to say, welcome, my good and faithful servant, my son. He's going to say, welcome, my daughter. You're going to stand before, folks, we're going to stand before the only true judge one day, and our accusers won't be there. The only one that can make a right decision, Jesus will be there. And aren't you glad it's going to be him? Amen. Aren't you glad, especially after this account? Man, I'm so glad. Where are your accusers? There are none. And I don't accuse you either. I don't condemn you either. You know what he said? He said, go and sin no more. I want you to walk away from this and I want you to live your life like what you've been through has never happened. Folks, isn't that beautiful? I don't know about y'all. I've had trauma in my life. I've had overwhelming trauma in my life. I've had things that I've brought upon myself and I have had things that other people have brought upon me. But when we stand before Jesus and he's ready to apply forgiveness onto our life, you know what he says? He just says, go live now as if all of these things, you're free to do that. Hallelujah. We have that free. I don't have to live like a sinner anymore because I'm not one. You call me a sinner if you want to. Call me a snake if you want to. Call me deceptive if you want to. I may have been that in my old life, but when God birthed his son in my life, when I was born again, all of that died with Jesus on the cross. And he raised me up to the newness of life. When you see me, you see Christ. Not that I'm the divinity of God. No, but I have the covering of the Most High God on me. That the devil himself, even though he goes to and fro in the earth and wants to come and bring an account to the Father, you know what Jesus says when Satan comes up with your name on his tongue? Jesus says, look at my scars, Dad. Look at my side, Father. I paid for this. He has no claim in this court for this person. Don't let him bring this shame. Don't let him bring this sin. Don't let him bring this garbage before you. That's paid for in full. Isn't that wonderful? That's a testimony of a Christian. That's our testimony. Who cares what they say? Say what you want. Everybody's going to talk. Everybody is. Everybody's going to throw stones. Listen, folks, I've got some stones hidden away, but there are things that God's given me to throw, not at people, but at the true enemy of God, to throw at those that have the Satan. I was trying to say something else, and I almost said something bad. Thank you for praying me through that. It wasn't like terrible. It wasn't a cuss word or nothing. I try not to do that no more. I don't do that no more. I'm sorry. This is so serious, and I don't need to be joking. I'm glad my wife's not in here. She'd just be shaking her head. Just get through it, Rafe. Folks, we do have an enemy. It's the enemy of our soul. Not one of you is my enemy. You're my brothers. You're my sisters in Christ. Folks, you know what the most precious thing is watching a new convert, a new believer come to church? Isn't that the most beautiful thing? Wait, I heard a testimony of a young girl that got saved at a friend of mine's church. She ain't never been in church a day in her life, don't know nothing about the Lord, but she got born again. She came up on the stage and she said, you know, the devil just P-I-S-S-E-S me off. For those that spell, you heard what I said. And, you know, there's a religious nature in some people that would just be like, how dare that little girl get up there? This is her first time ever in church. She don't know the difference in right and wrong. She don't know how to talk like church folks. But she knows that she was born again. And you know, she's a functioning member of that church now. This is just about a year and a half ago. She's a functioning member and leads in the church. She leads in the church. She don't talk like that no more. Don't worry, your religious hearts. Don't worry. She don't talk like that no more. Because God deals with that, don't he? Amen. A man don't have to come along and go, hey, man, you should watch your mouth. God will get you. If you're God's, he'll get you. Now, if you're not God's, I think that fruit's pretty evident, don't you? Don't you? Amen. You'll be convicted. You'll have conviction. But that's what Jesus does. When Jesus stands in the midst of a hearing like that, you know what Jesus does? He turns your heart to itself. He says, take a look at yourself. Stop looking at everyone else. Look at yourself. That's what worship is, isn't it? When you come in, I could be in a room full of hundreds of people. I have been in rooms with hundreds of people in a worship service. And when I'm in the presence of God, they could be bumping against me, but it's like I'm standing there by myself with my Lord and Savior. It's the preciousness of his presence. Now, you know, Jesus, this is going to sound weird, but Jesus sees you naked before him. There's nothing covering you or your sin before Jesus. And he still chooses you. Isn't that incredible? There's no shame knowing that I'm before a God that sees me for who I am and what's gone on in my life, and he doesn't turn me away. It's beautiful, isn't it? We see this nature in Jesus. I want to see this nature in his church. I want to see this nature in his body, because that's where power comes from. You know where healing comes from? Healed places. healed people know where to go to be healed. Isn't that crazy? That doctor sure did a good, whatever. I'm almost done. I can't even talk no more. My mom, I got a nasty scar right here. Had a bull hook me in the face. Of course, I had thought we didn't need stitches. But they took me to a plastic surgeon to get sewed back up. And in comparison to what the cut was, it looks really, really good. If I don't say so myself. I'm just kidding. There's no vanity in this. It's a scar. It looks really, really good. But in my own ability, I couldn't have healed myself. But when you know where to go, someone who's been there, can't we just come to the church and go, man, I was a mess more than any person here. And I'm looking at your life and I'm seeing that you're going down the same path that I was going. And it's darkness there. And I don't want to see you there. Can I take you to the person that helped me? Can I take you to the person that healed me? Can I take you to the person that saved me? Can I take you to the person that delivered me? I want to read something out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is in the Living Bible, so it's not going to translate really, really well. But I love the way that it says it. It says this. It said, how is it that when you have something against another Christian, you go to law and ask a heathen court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other Christians to decide which of you is right? Don't you know that someday we Christians are going to judge and govern the world? So why can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we Christians will judge and reward the very angels in heaven? So you should be able to decide your problems down here on earth easily enough. Why then go to outside judges who are not even Christians? I am trying to make you ashamed. I read that right. I am trying to make you ashamed. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these arguments? But instead, one Christian sues another and accuses his Christian brother in front of unbelievers. To have such lawsuits at all is a real defeat for you as Christians. Why not just accept mistreatment and leave it at that? It would be far more honoring to the Lord to let yourselves be cheated, but instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong, cheating others, even your own brothers. Don't you know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. There was a time when some of you were just like that. But now your sins are washed away and you are set apart for God. And he has accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you. So folks, when we talk about one another and then we present that to a heathen world, they just look on you and you shame yourself and you shame your brother. But we don't have to do that. We can come together to Jesus. We can pray for one another. We can take each other in each other's arms and hold one another accountable into the place that God. And if you can't, you know what the most spiritual advice I ever got when someone offended me? Get over it. I know that's real deep. And a great man of God told me that. He said, Rafe, if you can get over it, get over it. If you can't, do what the Word of God says. Go to your brother. If he won't listen to you, take another. If two can't get them, you present them before the church. And if they still won't see the folly in their ways, don't associate yourself with them anymore. Because their heart is not against you or the body. Their heart's against God. That's the reality. Folks, we have an obligation as the church to do these things. That's what the Word of God says. We have to hold one another accountable. When someone comes to you and says, yada, 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 sister so-and-so, blah, 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 you have an accountability by God to look at them and go, let's deal with this. I don't want to hear about this person. Let's go talk to them. If they're really in this place, can't we just go pray with them? Can't we? If you got to get a pastor involved, get a pastor involved. Pastor Pedro would love to go with you. I'm closing. I had to throw that in there. I'm in the process of closing. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, which means that when it comes to matters like this, when it comes to the word of God, we are prisoners to it. We can't escape what God requires of us. So we are a prisoner of the Lord. We have no choice but to deal with accounts the way that Jesus would deal with them. Amen? It says, therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, which means that no matter how you try to get away from the Christian church, you're a part of us. So if you're a finger and you want to slander the toe, guess what? You're connected to it. You're talking bad about yourself because you are a part. So if there is an ailment in one part of the body, the rest of the body do whatever it takes to heal it. Whatever it takes, fight and endeavor for the spirit of peace. We got to do that. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16. I'm leaving after this verse, and so can y'all. I'm going to play a little bit on the guitar. We're going to close in prayer. I may not even do the guitar. I'm so tired of playing that thing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 says this, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession. In the presence of many witnesses, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, anybody know what that word is? Potentate, I thought I said it right. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Amen. Folks, the only person that has a say at the end of the day is Jesus. Amen. That's it. Subject ourselves to him. Amen. Can you stand with me all over the building? It's 12:02 if you need to take your medicine. I'm just kidding. I've been with my wife's grandparents all week, and folks, they are on the money with their medicine. That's the only reason I said that. It was from my personal side of things, if they're listening at home. But let's pray. Aren't you glad you can have a good time in the house of the Lord? Amen. Did I beat you up too bad this morning? I hope not. The word of God, the only thing it beats down and kills is the flesh. Amen. So if we be in the Spirit, it gives such life. And I'm great to be in the Spirit of God and the life of God. I'm glad to be doing it with you. I have not heard any terrible things from y'all. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. If there are things, man, we can walk through this together. We can be the powerful church of Jesus Christ that he's called us to be. Amen. I desire that above all things. I didn't rope myself into being pastor here to gain power. I wasn't even looking for this place. I wasn't at all. When we got that phone call, I'll be honest, I told him no the first time we talked about it. And so it lets you know that this is the Lord, that we're here, and we're looking to be powerful and mighty in God. Amen? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for a word, Father, that is for us, God, that it's your word. And so we look to you, Jesus, and know, Father, that the only way to walk in victory is to walk with a forgiving heart, to walk, Lord God, in a place in the spirit of peace, Lord, that we might find you there. Father, whatever our grievances, whatever our troubles, whatever our offenses are, We can bring them to you. We can bring them to one another, Lord. And as civilized people, under the spirit of peace, God, we can work them out, Lord, as your word says that, God. So, Father, I thank you again for these wonderful people, this family that is here, God. And they act like family too, Lord. And I'm so grateful for that because we are the body of Jesus Christ. We're the family of Jesus Christ, Lord. Forgive me for my blunders and my bad jokes today, Lord. I don't mean to make light of your word. I know it's so serious. And I pray that every person here, God, received it seriously and by your spirit, God, that we're changed when we walk out of here. When we hear ill wills or gossips, God, that we can bring it to light, Lord Jesus, that it not hide in the darkness, that it not cause discord or discourse for the body of Jesus Christ. The world has enough that they want to bring against the church, Lord. Let us not give them more evidence to hate the church, Lord. Father, but let our love be the light. Let our love be what guides people in, for it is your loving kindness that leads people to repentance, Lord. So we love you, we honor you, bless everybody in this room, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. What's up, Bob?